The most obvious mitzvah to talk about in Parashas Nitzavim Vayelech is the final mitzvah of the Torah, which is mitzvah Tafresh Yud Gimel, the 613 mitzvah of the Ata Kisra Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. We have a mitzvah, we have an obligation to write, to commission the writing of our own Sefer Torah, that we should be able to learn from it in our own homes, teach it to our children, and that is the final mitzvah in all the counting of the 613 mitzvahs HaTorah. There is a lot to speak about, and that really what I was planning to discuss today. However, it came to me last night that maybe this is a more important topic, because I don't know how relevant it is at this stage in your lives to think about writing a Sefer Torah, to think about owning a Sefer Torah. I think this issue is something that is far more relevant and far more fundamental. Of course, every one of the mitzvahs is fundamental for us to be aware of, but this one is something that maybe we confront on a far more often basis, and something maybe we should think about. If we don't think about it, maybe we should. And it's really one of the basis of the Ikari HaEmunah. Let's look in the Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam as follows. Let's learn the words of the Rambam together. As you can see, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah is the most fundamental, foundational things that one needs to know as a Torah observant Jew. That's why it's called Yisodei HaTorah, the foundations of the Torah. So here the Rambam says, Davar Barur U'mefurish B'Torah. It is explicit in the Torah, Shei Mitzvah Omedes La'olam La'omei Olamim, that all of the instructions, all of the mitzvahs that we are given, are here for all eternity. This was not an instruction that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Doro. It is not something that was limited only to the generation who traveled from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, but rather, these are instructions that are given for all of the Jewish people, for all eternity, wherever they may find themselves, whatever the circumstance is. Ein la lo shinui, there should be no changing of any aspect of Torah, velo giraon, velo tosefes. Nothing should be added, and nothing should be subtracted at all. This is the entirety of Torah and mitzvos, that it is perfect the way it is, as the Rambam writes in one of the 13 principles of faith, Zos HaTorah lo tehe muchlefes. This Torah will never change. Now, situations change, circumstances that we're confronted with change, and therefore we need to apply the relevant areas of halacha to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. The halacha doesn't change. It's just the halacha has a different response when you're dealing with a certain set of circumstances that you may not have been dealing with before. Let me give you a very simple example of that. We know that Yitzchak Avinu is really not spoken about so much in the pages of Chumash. We have three Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We know a lot about the life of Avram Avinu and all the difficulties he went through and all the challenges he was given. The Mishnah expands upon them, the Asar, Nisyonos, and Nisnasa Avram Avinu, 10 different tests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him. Okay, we know a lot about him. We know a lot about Yaakov, a whole lot about Yaakov. The Torah goes through many parashios to tell us about the younger life of Yaakov Avinu, and then as he's a fugitive, and then as he gets married, and then how he has children or doesn't have children, then the children are fighting with each other. All till the end of Sefer Bereishis, we have a lot of discussion about Yaakov. What we don't know a lot about is the life of Yitzchak. What was the job of Yitzchak Avinu? What did he do? What did he accomplish? What was he busy with? And what's clear is that Yitzchak tried valiantly to be the person who was going to uphold the tradition of his father. My father always likes to say, if you have a father who is a revolutionary, if you have a parent who is somebody who comes up with all kinds of brilliant ideas, your job is not to be the brilliant person next who's going to come up with new brilliant ideas. Your job is to try to make the brilliant ideas of that person who came before you be transmitted as widely as they can be before they're forgotten. And that was the idea of Yitzchak Avinu's life. He knew that his father was a revolutionary person. He knew that his father was an individual who changed the face of humanity forever. And his job really was, his tafkid in life was, to be able to spread that idea that Avraham Avinu brought into the world as much as he could. And he followed the Mesorah. That's what his whole life really was. It was not about coming up with new things. It was about trying to make sure that the fundamental ideas that Avraham Avinu shared with the world would be transmitted as widely as possible. So what happens? Yitzchak Avinu in his lifetime is confronted with a problem. Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. And there was a famine in the land. What does a person do when they are so committed to Mesorah? How do they respond when there is a famine in the land? So, somebody who is really drawn to the Mesorah will look in the family chronicles to see, well, what did my father do when he was confronted with the famine? How did he react? How did he respond? And that's the way I'm going to respond and behave as well. Well, what happened in the days of Avraham Avinu when there was a famine, as we know? Torah says he leaves the land of Israel, goes to Chutz La'aretz to try to find food. Makes a lot of sense. Yitzchak says, you know, that makes sense. Maybe I should do the same thing. There's a famine. Let me leave the land of Eretz Israel and let me do exactly what my father did. I would say that is somebody who has a tremendous fidelity to the Mesorah. And what happens? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to him? Shchon ba'aretz azos. Al teirid Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to leave. And Yitzchak, I would play out the conversation that the Torah doesn't have, but I would imagine Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing exactly what my father Avraham Avinu did. I'm following the Mesorah. What's the answer? The answer is, your circumstances are not the same as your father's. Rashi in Chumash introduces us to the concept that because Yitzchak Avinu was offered by the Akedah, didn't end up playing out, but he became in some way a sacrifice, he became a karban, and he was not allowed to leave the land of Eretz Yisrael. Your father was never a karban, and that's why your father was able to leave. You have a very different set of circumstances than he had. And therefore, it requires a very different reaction, a very different response. It doesn't mean the halacha changes. It just means that you have to look at your circumstance and say, what would my father have done if he was in the circumstances that I am currently in? Yitzchak didn't understand that. Yitzchak didn't realize. His father's circumstance was not the same as his. To blindly follow and say, oh, the same thing he did is what I'm going to do. Well, that sounds good. As long as the circumstances match up with one another. I'll give you another example. Yeshua ben Nun goes to war. What happens after Yeshua ben Nun went to war? Well, they won the war. And what is the outcome of winning a war? You have the right to take the spoils, to take anything that was left behind by the enemy army, right? You have a right to it. It belongs to you. It's called Kibush Melchama. We now overtake the land. We overtake the property. Everything belongs to us. Now, Yeshua ben Nun puts a chayram and he says, nobody is allowed to take anything from the spoils of war. Where did he get this idea from? Where did he get the idea from? He got the idea from the greatest place where he should get ideas, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua ben Nun was the closest student to Moshe Rabbeinu. He watched carefully everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and he followed exactly what his teacher, what Moshe Rabbeinu taught him to do. Well, when Moshe Rabbeinu went out to war, he said, nobody's allowed to take anything. Yeshua ben Nun goes out to war and he says, nobody's allowed to take anything. Sounds good, right? Wrong. Why? Torah says he was punished for doing that. What are you punishing me? Yeshua ben Nun should turn back to God and say, what did I do? I'm just following the Mesorah. I'm doing exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu, my Rebbe, did. So why should I be punished? Why do you have a problem? Why are you objecting to my following everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did when he went out to war? The answer is, something dramatically changed between Moshe Rabbeinu and you. What's the difference? In between, in the interim period, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's war until your war, we have Parshas Nitzavim. And what happens in Parshas Nitzavim? We're told that there's a mitzvah of Arvus, which means, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. It's called Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, which means we are all responsible for each other. Once there's a mitzvah of Arvus, that means if you do something wrong, it means it's as if I'm doing something wrong. All of us are responsible. It's no longer each man for himself. Now, if that's the case, now, Yehoshua, you're going to put a decree on the Jewish people. It used to be, it's up to each person to decide whether they're going to listen. Now, if you put a decree on the Jewish people and someone doesn't listen, it's all of our fault. It's not the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu had that set of circumstances when he went to war, he never would have put the decree on the people because he knows how dangerous it is to make a new decree. He knows that people may not follow and then everybody's held accountable. Everyone's responsible. So you have to be aware of the fact that although the Torah does not change, circumstances continue to evolve. Life situations continue to change and the halacha has a response to all of it. You just have to know that sometimes you need to look in a different siman in Shulchan Aruch to find the answer than where your grandparents would have looked. It's not always going to be the same. And therefore it requires sometimes what will look like a different response, what will look like a deviation from the Mesorah, which is really not. It's following the Mesorah because if my grandparents were alive today, this is how they would respond. Question, yeah.
What war was this with Yehoshua? Because wasn't there a war where someone did take the spoils and they weren't supposed to and that they got in trouble?
Yes, but everyone was punished.
Right, but then what does that mean that you shouldn't have
meaning he made a decree, but then someone didn't listen. If someone doesn't listen, it means it's all of our fault.
But Yehoshua shouldn't have made the decree at first.
Exactly,
but then
yes.
Someone stole up. So it was like a lot of mistakes.
Yes, a lot of things. But that's exactly what the point was. Since somebody violated it, it became all of our fault. That's not fair. And that's why God was upset at Yoshua ben Nun. Okay, so says the Rambam here that we don't change the Torah. There's no Shinui, there's no Giraum, there's no Tosefes. Shenemar as kol ha-davar asher anochi mitzava eschem, oso tishmerun la'asos. Says the Pasuk, exactly as I am commanding you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that is what you should do. Lo tosif ala v'lo tirgam imenu. V'nemar, and it says, v'haniglos lanu ulevanenu ad olam. This week's Parsha. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us is meant to be there ad olam, which means for all eternity. La'asos is called divrei ha-Torah azos. Halamadato, says the Rambam, you learn from here, shekol divrei ha-Torah mitzuvim anu la'asosam ad olam. And this, says the Rambam, is what it means when it says, chukas olam l'dorosechem. Similarly, at the end of Parshas B'chukosai, we have a very important pasuk where it emphasizes this idea. Look in number Beis. Eila ha-mitzvos. It basically wraps up the entirety of Torah. B'chukosai is at the end of which sefer? What? Which one? Vayikra. Correct. So basically, this is summing up everything that was taught. And what were we taught? Eila ha-mitzvos hasher tziva Hashem es Moshe al b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. These are the mitzvos that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Jewish people from God himself at Har Sinai. Okay, say Chazal Megillah Daf Beis. Why is it a Megillah Daf Beis? You'll see in a minute. Eila ha-mitzvos, what does that mean? Ein ha-navi rashoi lechadesh davar me'ata. Means that from here on in, everything that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us is where everything stays. It's a standstill. We don't add anything. You could be the greatest navi, the greatest prophet. You can be very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can have very deep connections and deep conversations with God, nothing is going to change, and you don't have a right to make a new institution. Ask the Gemara Maseches Megillah, which is the question you're about to ask. What is with Purim? How do we have Purim? We'll get to your question in a second. I'm sure this is part of what you wanted. What's with Purim? Esther, it says in the Gemara, pleads with the Chachamim of her generation, Kisvuni Ledoros. How can we not have the story of Megillah's Esther as part of the Tanakh? I mean, this is such an amazing story, how everything unfolded, and Esther is pleading with the members of her generation, let's make a Yom Tov, let's make a holiday, let's figure out how to make Megillas Esther part of Tanakh. Well, ask the Gemara, what right did Esther have to then institute a new halacha when we know, Ein ha-navi rashoi l'chadosh davar me'ata? Esther was a great tzaddik, as Mordechai was a great tzaddik, all of them are wonderful. However, let's be honest, they don't have a right to make a new institution. So that's a very, very inyan musubach. That's a very complicated issue to figure out what right did they have to institute a new holiday on the Jewish calendar, which was not included anywhere. What right did they have to make something new, which is a tosefes, which is an addition to what we already had based on Moshe Rabbeinu? It's a major dispute in the Rishonim and the Achronim how to answer that question. But that is the one major, major problem with a lot of this Gemara. And that's why it's in Megillah Daf Beis, because that's what the Gemara there is talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Excellent question. So, how do you deal with a mitzvah derabbanan? In general, how do you deal with any takana derabbanan? So, the answer is that the Torah gave license to the chachamim to add a mitzvah derabbanan. But the way the Rambam explains it is when the chachamim do that, let's say we have a prohibition of bishulakum. We're not allowed to eat food that was cooked and prepared by a non-Jew. That's not a biblical prohibition. That is something that the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, came along and instituted a new idea. Why? Says the Gemara, they were concerned, Mishum Chasnus. They were concerned, if Jews are going to be eating with non-Jews and they're going to eat food that was prepared by a non-Jew, the concern is, maybe you'll end up becoming very close to them. Look, food is a great way to bind people together. And I'm going to be so excited when I sit together with these people who make the most delicious and amazing food, even though it's all kosher ingredients. Of course, I never suspect that they're going to serve me something that's not kosher. I'm watching them. I'm in the kitchen. But this is the greatest chef ever. So I'm concerned that, not because of kashrus, but I'm concerned that maybe we're going to develop such a close relationship that I'm going to end up marrying his daughter. His children are going to end up marrying my daughters, and that's going to be a concern for intermarriage. And because it's going to lead to that, therefore we made a takana derabbanan, a rabbinic institution, which is that they are not allowed to eat, Jews are not allowed to eat what's referred to as bishul akum. That is one example of many. The Pesachei Tshuva actually discusses what happens when you have a komer, l'avodah zarah, which is a priest. And generally, the rule is that a priest has to remain celibate, is not allowed to have children. So there's no concern that maybe I'm going to marry his children. What if he's a master chef? So would I be allowed to eat his food? Or do you say, no, bishul akum is across the board. And we say, whether you have children, you don't have children, we would not be allowed to eat that which is cooked by and prepared by a non-Jew. Very interesting question for when we have a semester on bishul akum. But not for now. Very important question to think about. Be it as it may, we have a Tarkana Rabbanan. What gave them license to do that? The answer is the Torah already included in the laws of the Torah that the Chachamim have a right to make a protection for the Torah, to make a gedar v'siyag, to make a way to make sure that they are going to safeguard the laws of the Torah. Now, the Rambam writes, in doing so, the Chachamim have to make sure that they make it clear what is a din d'oraisa and what is a din d'rabbanan. If they want to convince the people that, oh, we just, you know, have a halacha that we just discovered, it was always around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that would be a prohibition of Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add on to the Torah and pretend like this is on the same level as the Torah laws themselves. You have to make a clear demarcation. This is an Issur d'oraisa, this is an Issur d'rabbanan. This is biblically prohibited, this is only rabbinic. But outside of that, the Torah says that they do have license to then add, which is why we make a bracha when we perform a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Right? When we read the Megillah, we make a bracha. Asher kedushanu mitzvosa v'tzivanu. Ask the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, what do you mean? How can I say God commanded me to do this? What do you mean? God didn't command you to read Megillah. The Chacham commanded you to read Megillah. So how do you say a bracha asher kedushanu mitzvosa v'tzivanu? What's the answer? Heichan tzivanu. You ever thought about it? It says, lahadig ner shel Shabbos. Did God tell you to light candles for Shabbos? No.
But God told us to listen.
That's the answer. Says the Gemara, God told you you should listen to the rabbis of your generation. So if the Chachamim said that you should light Shabbos candles, and the Chachamim said that you should observe Hanukkah, you should read the Megillah, then that is under the general rubric of Vitzivanu, Kiddushan Mitzvos of Vitzivanu, that God commanded us. Even though it's some kind of indirect commandment, he basically gave the power of attorney over to the Chachamim, but that is enough to say that it's called Vitzivanu nonetheless. You had a question?
Isn't Purim
Darabanan
though?
Purim is Darabanan, sure.
So then, like, can we have Purim?
Can we have Purim? What do you mean?
Like, I'm saying, like, since it's Darabanan.
You're saying, why should it be a problem at all?
Yeah.
The reason why it should be a problem is because the Chachamim generally have a right to make institutions that are to augment a certain mitzvah or to safeguard a certain mitzvah. Let's say Bishul Akam, they're concerned about something else. But Purim is a standalone. So what right do they have? Like, they just woke up one day and decided, oh, let's add another day on the Jewish calendar that's a holiday. What right do you have to do that? In what context? What is it connected to? What is it based off of? The Gemara says, "Kol d'tikun rabbanan ke'en d'oraisa tikun." Everything that the Chachamim instituted has to have a basis. It can't just be a standalone mitzvah. So what is the basis of Purim? That's what is really the troubling piece of Purim. Yeah. From what?
From the hints that the recipient brings.
The question is that sufficient? So what is a hint for Purim? So the Gemara says, well, Haman min haTorah minayin. How do we know about Haman? Says the Gemara, because we have a word, Hamin ha'etz, when it says by Chava. What do you mean? That's a remez, says the Gemara, to the story. But that doesn't mean that that is an institution of the Yom Tov of Purim. That's not so clear. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, you can only the Chachamim on the Takanos if it's very clear that it's Darabanan. And what do you do with all of the mitzvos that are Tzimachlokas if it's Darabanan or D'oraisa? Like, how does that happen?
That's an excellent question. That is an excellent question. I don't know the answer. Meaning, the Rambam and the Ramban have disputes about what is considered a mitzvah D'oraisa, sometimes what's a Darabanan. How can they dispute it if it's not clear? That's a very good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Gemara writes in Maseches Tmura, a very, very surprising story that goes beyond what we just said. So what did we say? The Rambam says, you're not allowed to institute a new mitzvah. Lo tosif, lo taguru. You're not allowed to take away, you're not allowed to add. Says the Gemara Maseches Tmura Daf Tazayin, listen carefully. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shloshes alafim halachos nishtakhu bimei evlo shel Moshe. There were 3,000 halachos that were forgotten in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, bimei evlo means after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Suddenly it became clear, we used to have Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we do now? We used to have somebody we can ask all the questions to. What do we do now? What's the obvious place to go? Obvious address? Yoshua ben Nun. Well, you learn with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what to do. Amru lo li Yoshua. The problem is they came to Yoshua and he says, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, but I also forgot. So imagine you wake up the next day after Moshe Rabbeinu died and you don't know. How do we do Netilas Adayim, and how do we keep kosher? Like, do we cook meat and milk together? How does this work exactly? Nobody knew what to do. So they come to Yoshua ben Nun and he says, I don't know either. Which is shocking. After all the years he spent with Moshe Rabbeinu, he also forgot. Amar lei, Amar lo li Yoshua Sha'ol, we have a good idea. Why don't you ask Baruch HaKodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu should reveal himself to you and he should tell you what we need to know. Amarle, so he answers him, no. Lo b'shamayim. That's not an option. I don't have a right to go and ask Moshe Rabbeinu because the Torah is not b'shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer alive. He's not here. So he's not going to determine for us how to wash our hands and how to keep kosher. He's out of the picture. Amazing. Yesterday he was Moshe Rabbeinu. Today he's nothing. A non-entity. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu would come to you in a dream and tell you everything you need to know, we wouldn't care, says Yehoshua ben Nun. Fascinating. Then the Gemara says, Amr lo l'Shmuel Sha'al. They went to Shmuel, not the famous Shmuel. They went to a different Shmuel and they asked him to inquire. Amar lahem, Ela mitzvos she'en anavi rishai l'chadish davar me'ata. So says the Gemara, it's fascinating. Not only do we say that a Navi wouldn't be able to make up or produce a new mitzvah, but we would say you wouldn't even be allowed to rely on this kind of information to reinstate something that always was here. Just we forgot. We forgot what the halacha is. The only way to determine it is to go back and bring Moshe Rabbeinu into our lives again and ask him the question, says the Gemara, no. Lo b'shamayim hi, a pasuk in this week's parsha. Lo b'shamayim hi means that we don't rely on simanim min ha-shamayim to tell us how we should act and behave in religious life. Says the Gemara, Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph Amid Beis, a very well-known, famous story in the Gemara called the story of Tanur Shel Achnoi. What is the story of Tanur Shel Achnoi? Doesn't really matter about the details of the machlokas, but basically there were two Tanaim who had a dispute about a certain specific halacha. A Tanur means an oven. Shel Achnoi. Achnoi is? What? A what? No, Achnoi is a snake. So it was a round oven. So they called it a Tanur Shel Achnoi because it went around and around. And the question that became, that was raised was something about the specifics of how are you ever able to make that tahor if it becomes tamei. That was the question that they were dealing with. It doesn't make a difference what the specifics of the issue were. Now, they had a very heated dispute in the Beis Medrash that day. And Rabbi Lazar turns to all of his friends and he says, I want you all to know, I'm a much greater Talmud Chacham than everybody in the room. He wasn't saying out of arrogance. He was just saying, let's talk real. I know who I am. And I know that my opinion is correct, and I think all of you should accept my opinion. Now, he was totally outvoted, but he was sure that he was correct. And says the Gemara, he decides to show them that he was right. And he turns outside and he says, you see that tree out there? Charuv yochiach. Look, the tree is going to be uprooted from the ground. If I'm correct, everybody look outside. Everybody turns around. Suddenly, the tree springs forth from the ground. Amazing. And his contemporaries turn to him and they say, really nice trick, amazing that you were able to figure that out, but lo b'shamayim, we don't care that the tree just proved you're right. And he says, really? Well, then I'm going to go further. You see that stream outside? The stream usually flows whatever direction it's going. Everybody watch carefully as it's about to change directions and it's going to flow the opposite way. Everybody, much to their shock, looks outside and they see that the stream starts flowing in the opposite direction. They can't believe it. And still, they turn to him and they say, we don't care about the stream. We don't care about the tree. You're still wrong. Now, it's amazing. Finally, he says to all of them, you really don't believe me? Kosley beis hamedrash yochichu. We're all sitting here in the building in the Beis Medrash. The walls are going to start caving in. Watch. And the walls start caving in, and everybody's terrified. And finally, they scream at him. They say, you trying to destroy the building? What's going on here? And then a bas kol comes out, min hashamayim. A heavenly voice comes out, and it says, look at this Gemara in number Dalit. Chazar v'amar lahem. Rabbi Lazar turns to his contemporaries and he says, im halacha kamosi, if I am correct in my opinion, then min hashamayim yochichu. If you say that you didn't trust when the tree flew out of the ground, when the water started flowing backwards, when the walls of the Beis Medrash started caving in, min hashamayim yochichu, a voice from heaven will come out and tell you that I'm right. Yatzas abas kol v'yamar. Imagine the scene, what's going on here. A bas kol, a heavenly voice comes out and says, Malachem Eitzer Rabbi Lazar, Sha'alacha Kamosa B'chal Makom. What are you picking on Rabbi Lazar? He's right. He's the biggest genius in the room. He's the greatest Talmud Chacham. He knows better than all of you. His opinion is correct. What are you going to say now? The bas kol just backed him up, came out of nowhere. What are you going to say now? I always feel, you know, the Chafetz Chaim has a really beautiful piece where he talks about technology. And again, technology in the 1920s was not technology today, but there were things that were evolving in his generation. And the Chafetz Chaim writes about why everything we believe is min hashamayim. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to give us all of these technological advancements? For what? Why do we have, he says, why do we have a camera? Like, who came up with this idea of a camera? So we only have a camera because some scientists figured out how to make a picture that we can print out and hang it on the wall? That's the only reason? No. Obviously, Min HaShamayim, there's a reason for it. So why? So he says the reason why he develops a theme really beautifully, he talks about a microphone, he talks about a recorder, all kinds of things. And he says the reason why is because people in earlier generations used to have a tremendous amount of faith, tremendous amount of emunah. And they believed that when the Mishnah says, Kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, it actually meant something. Meaning that God is actually going to keep track of every single situation that comes up in my life. We live in a generation like, come on, who believes that? God is really watching, like he really sees, he's going to remember this. You know, much is going on in the world, he doesn't really care. The answer is a camera. It is possible to take a snapshot of someone's life, and it will be there forever. And says the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only invented the camera to make us have the opportunity to understand and appreciate the concept of Kol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavim. Now, there's a side benefit that we now have pictures. But the point of having the pictures is to give us a perspective that there is a possibility for something to be recorded for all posterity, for all eternity. It's not going to go anywhere. It's here forever. And that's just to remind us of Emunah. So I wonder, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create GPS? Why did he give us Waze? Chafetz Chaim didn't have Waze. So are we graded on the Chafetz Chaim? We have such brilliant scientists that came up with it, of course, an Israeli company, amazing. Why do we have it? I believe because we don't believe in a Basco. What does a Basco mean? God's going to fly out from heaven and send out a voice somewhere to tell us what to do? It doesn't make sense, right? How can we? Yeah. You turn on Waze, and a voice comes out from nowhere and tells you exactly where to go, and you follow it. And you follow it blindly. You don't even know where you're going. You don't know where the detour is taking you, but you're going to go anyway. It's to be mechazik us that there's such a concept, there's such an idea of a basko min hashamayim, of some voice that comes out of nowhere that actually instructs you exactly where to go. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim would be happy that I'm applying his concept even further, but we have to look at things in our lives in that kind of light, in that kind of perspective. So here, says the Gemara, Yatzas HaBaskol. Imagine, you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, you're having this contentious argument, and along comes a Baskol, a heavenly voice, and tells you that Rabbi Elazar's right. I would say, all right, I give up. You're right. God just said he agrees with you. So, you want a better person than that? You want a better Haskama? You want a better agreement to your opinion than God himself? The answer, says the Gemara, is no go. We don't care what the Ribbono Shel Olam says. Lo Bashamayimi. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu say whatever he wants. Let the Baskol come out. We're not going to pay attention to it. As far as we're concerned, your opinion is outvoted. And you're wrong. And we will not change our position. As many tricks as you want to pull on us, as many simanim min hashamayim that you want to show, as many voices from heaven are going to come down, doesn't matter. Your opinion is not accepted. Which is an amazing application of this pasuk in our parsha. It means the Ribbono Shel Olam himself came down, and yet they did not listen to him. So let's read the Rambam's opinion in all of this. In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam takes us to an extreme. And the Rambam writes as follows. Ne'emar, it says in our Parsha, Parshas Vayelech, Lo Bashamayim. Now what does it mean, Lo Bashamayim? Halamadato, you learn from here, Shein Navi Rashay Lechadosh Davar Me'ata. We saw that already. Lefikach. Therefore, says the Rambam, Im Yamod Ish Bein Mi Yisrael Bein Min Ha'umos. If you have an individual, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew, V'yasa Osu Mofes, and he's going to do something that we are wowed by, he's going to make an os. He's going to do something, tell us the future. He's going to predict something. He's going to tell us, what will happen, and then we watch it unfold. V'yomar, and he's going to tell us, Hashem shalcho, that God sent him, lehosif mitzvah o legra mitzvah, either to add a mitzvah or to take away from a mitzvah. Let's say this person who you're mesmerized by is going to tell you, God no longer wants us to keep Shabbos on Shabbos. He wants us to keep Shabbos on Sunday. The Christians were right all along. Shabbos is really not Saturday. Shabbos is Sunday. Now, if I said that, nobody would listen to me. What are my credentials? I have no credentials to say that. But if somebody can pull off a bunch of miracles and then say that, maybe this is what to think about. Says the Rambam, you know off the bat, without even looking into it, that the person is wrong. Why? How do you know he's wrong? Because nobody has the ability to change what we know from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shabbos is Shabbos. That's it. That's what it is. And you don't have a right to change that. Go to the next paragraph where the Rambam writes in Halacha Dalet. This is Perek Tes Halacha Dalet in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. V'cheinim akar midvarim shalamanu mipi ha'shmua. Osha Amar Bidin Medine Atara Sha Hashem Tziva Lo Sha Adin Kachu V'Halacha Kedibrei Ploni. He says, you always thought the halacha is like Beis Shammai. It turns out the halacha is like Beis Hillel. You always thought that this is the halacha. Really, I'm going to prove to you it's not. Now, if he's coming misvara, if he's arguing out the case, and he says, look, I think your arguments are wrong. You misunderstood this or that, this source or the other. That is what to talk about. However, if he's just coming and saying, I'm going to show you a proof that the way you pass in the Shulchan Aruch is not right because I'm going to make some miracle happen, we don't make a religion based on miracles. We don't care. In fact, says the Gemara, a very famous line, Chacham Adif Minavi. A Navi, of course, is somebody who is on a very high level, very connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And yet the Gemara says a Chacham is Adif Minavi. A Talmud Chacham is considered to be greater than a Navi. How so? The answer is because a Navi has no sway in the halachic process. We don't care what a Navi says in terms of the halacha itself. We care what a Chacham says. We don't care what a Navi says when the halacha is at stake. Let's look at the third entry here from the Rambam. Halamadata, you learn. Perek Yud Halacha Gimel. She'ein ha-Navi omed lanu. So what is the job of a Navi then, says the Rambam? He's very limited. All he can do is magic? So what's the point? Why do we have Nevi'im? Says the Rambam, Ein ha-Navi omed lanu ela lohodianu dvarim ha-asidim lios ba'olam misova v'rav milchama v'shalom. What is a Navi for? When we're about to go out to war, we ask the Navi advice. Do you see, do you forecast that we're going to win this war or not? Should we go out to battle? Should we not? If he sees that in the future, the economy is going to go south, so what would he tell us to do? That's what a Navi's for. Afilu sarche yachin modialo. You want to know, should I go become an accountant? Should I become a doctor? You go ask the Navi. You have a personal question, you can go ask him. A Navi does not have a right to add or subtract from anything. All he has the capacity to do is to tell us what is going to happen and to guide us and advise us accordingly. But outside of that, he's very limited. Listen what the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos, which is a sefer in and of itself to study. It's a very important introduction that the Rambam gives. Look what he says on the second side. Okay, here goes the Rambam. Inyan sheyosev oyigareya min hakasav. Kigon, what's an example? Sheyomar shakadosh baruch hu amar elai. God told me, you know, we have a mitzvah called Arla. What does Arla mean? The first 3 years of a tree's growth, you're not allowed to derive benefit from that tree. You have to dispose of all that produce. Let's say he comes along and he says, you misunderstood. Arla is not 3 years. Arla is really only 2 years. What do you mean Arla is 2 years? The Torah says explicitly that it's 3 years. So if he says that it's 2 years, or he says, no, you got it all wrong. Really, Arla is not 3 years, Arla is 4 years. So either he's going, being more machmir or more mekel. Either way, says the Rambam, we would not accept his words. You don't even have to look into it. He's wrong. He has no right to tell you something that is explicitly against the Pasuk in Chumash. And I would say, just as an aside, I hate that I'm saying this, and please excuse me for bringing it up in the middle of a shiur, but it's important that we talk about it once in a while. A rav, or a female educator, or any influence in your life who tells you to do something that is explicitly against a pasuk in Chumash should not be listened to. What does that mean? Of course, if he tells me to be mechal shabbos, I don't listen to them. If he tells you to violate the laws of yichud and come into a private place with them, don't listen to them. There's something wrong. You know off the bat there's something off. There's a reason why we have the laws of Yichud, to protect us, to protect all of us. If somebody who you respect tells you to go into a private place and do something that you're not comfortable doing because you know the Torah says not to do it, don't listen to them. Follow your instincts. It means they're telling you something that is not true. It means they're telling you something that is sheker, that is against, that is antithetical to Torah. It's just, again, we all have situations that we find ourselves in where we're uncomfortable, where we don't know what to do. The easiest rule of thumb is, if there's a black and white halacha that we're supposed to be following and this person breaks it, then don't follow them. Period. Stop right there. Full stop. Dr. Pelkowitz once told me, every abuse case that he's aware of sexual abuse, happens because people started not being careful with yichud. If you would follow the laws of Yichud, you wouldn't be able to get yourself in a position where you can be alone with someone to do anything. I would never do something wrong if other people were there. I'm afraid. Why do I think I have a right to do it when no one's around? Because no one else is around. That's exactly why the laws of Yichud were instituted. And says the Gemara, Al Talmin Biatzmacha Ad Yom Moscha. You can be the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. You can be the greatest inspiration in the world. It doesn't matter. You also have a taiva and you do things wrong. And all of us make mistakes in many different areas of life. Don't trust anybody. If somebody who you respect tells you to do something that you know is against the halacha, don't trust them and stay away. Okay, back to the halacha here, says the Rambam. So here, if he tells you that you should change your understanding of any area of Torah, says the Rambam, off the bat, you know this person is not to be trusted, not to be listened to. He is referred to as a Navi HaShekher. Here's the problem. We have a Gemara Maseches Erevin. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, a very, very fascinating sugya where the Gemara has a dispute. There are many disputes in the Gemara between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Many, many disputes, says the Gemara, even though they disputed a lot. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, they loved each other, they let their children marry each other, they ate in each other's homes. Beautiful, great. But they disagreed a lot. The Gemara says they disagreed a lot. Says the Gemara, they had a dispute for a very long time. How long is a long time? Not a dispute personally, a dispute in halacha. What does a long time mean? 3 years they were fighting about the following issue. No, it means you actually care about it. If you're fighting about it for 3 years, it means this is actually something that matters to you. You don't fight about nothing for 3 years. You fight about silly things for a little bit of time, then you forget about it. Keep fighting for 3 years. And what was the machlokas? What were they arguing about? Anybody know? What? No, not the number of mitzvahs. What were they fighting about? A philosophical debate. Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra or Noach lo la'adam shenivra? No. Is it better that human beings would never have been created? Or is it better that we are created? Interesting question. Philosophical debate. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter. We're all here. Right? So they were fighting back and forth, says the Gemara, about whether it's better that human beings should never have been created because there's so much possibility for us to ruin our lives, to do things wrong, to go down the wrong path, not to follow the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a good idea. Would have been better if none of us would have been born. We should have just stayed where we were in heaven and everything would have been perfect. Or do you say, no, God put us in the world with challenges and our job in life is to figure out how to navigate the challenges and to overcome them. Every once in a while we fail and we fall and we don't do what we're supposed to do. But the bottom line is that overall, on the whole, we have an opportunity to do good and therefore the world is worthy of being created. It's all great. That was the debate. That was a dispute among many, many other disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara as follows. Let's read it together. Gemara Ne'ervin Yud Gimel Amud Beis Amar Ababar Amar Shmuel Shalosh Shanim Nechaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. 3 years in a row, 3 years consecutively, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about this. Halalu Omrim Halacha Kimoseinu V'Halalu Omrim Halacha Kimoseinu. Beis Shammai says the halacha is like us. Beis Hillel says the halacha is like us. What are you going to do? Stalemate. Yatzis Abaskol V'Yamra. Oh, remember about Abaskol. What story do we know about Abaskol? Story we just learned. What was the story there? Rabbi Lazar is arguing with all of his contemporaries, and Abaskol comes out and supports the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, and what happened? What was the end of the story?
They didn't listen to
the Abaskol. Okay, what should happen here? What's the outcome? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing. Along comes Abaskol and says, oh, we have the answer. Who's right? The answer should have been, we don't care. We don't care what you say, because you are a Abaskol. And yet, what does the Gemara say here? Yatsa Abaskol v'yamra, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, you're both wonderful. And you're both very righteous. And your opinions are very valid. However, halacha k'Beis Hillel. Halacha k'Beis Hillel, what does that mean, halacha k'Beis Hillel? Tosus there, ask the question. It's a Tosus that finds itself in Yevamos, in Chulin, in Psachim, Bab Metzia, Erevin, and Brachos. I looked it up today. All the different places, Tosus has the same question. 6 different Mesechtos, where he's bothered. We don't care about Abaskol. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a dispute. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel decided, you know how we're going to settle this? Abaskol came out Minash Shamayim and said that Beis Hillel is right. And that's who we should follow. What do you mean? What do we care what the Abaskol feels? Torah Lova Shamayim. Pasuk in our Parsha. So how do you reconcile this astosis together with the other Gemara that we learned about Metzia, where we're told that they totally disregarded the Abaskol, and suddenly here we listen, we accept the words of the Abaskol? This is a very, very important question that Tosus asks, where Tosus gives 2 different answers to his question. Now, what's clear from Tosus' answers is that he disagrees with the Rambam. He disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says, any time, as we just saw, The Rambam says, any time you have a Navi who comes along and says, Minas Shamayim, I had a vision, I had a dream last night, I had some kind of messenger that came to me, I had a Baskel Minas Shamayim that came and told me, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do the other, we don't listen to them. Whether they're adding something, they're subtracting something, changing something, we don't do that. Tosis writes over here, perhaps this is different because, again, he gives two answers, but one of the answers Tosis says is that we would be samach on a baskel. We would be samach on a baskel potentially. We would listen to a baskel. However, Tosis says, here, let's say, I'm sorry, Tosis gives two different opinions. Tosis says there, in the story of Rabbi Lezer in Bab Metzia, so there, the baskel only came out to show kavod to Rabbi Lezer. It wasn't trying to prove anything. The baskel was just saying, you all need to realize what kind of person is sitting in the room. The baskel wasn't saying you should paskin like him. The baskel was just saying, we give a haskama to this person that he's a really honorable, respectable person in the room. It wasn't coming to adjudicate. It wasn't coming to give us a bottom line. It was just coming to say that this person is a reputable human being and he's somebody who you should take seriously. You don't have to accept his opinion, but you have to take him seriously. And since that was only the chvodo, that is why the Gemara says we don't listen to the baskel. But here, in this case, it was different. That's one opinion of Tosis. We're not going to get into the whole discussion now. Tosis gets into it. But the bottom line is, this Gemara, the Kesef Mishnah, who is Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his commentary on the Rambam, writes, this whole Gemara goes against everything the Rambam says. The Rambam basically says that a baskel and a Navi can never be listened to with any matters of halacha. It doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what the context is, doesn't matter what they're trying to prove. We do not accept them. So how does he accept here that the Gemara tells us, halacha kibes hilal, ask the Kesef Mishnah, that is something that would seem to be very problematic in the opinion of the Rambam. We move to a Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there introduces us to a very interesting concept. Anybody knows what Mansepach is? Ever heard of Mansepach? Menatzpach? No? Okay, what are those letters? Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pe, and Chaf. What is unique about those letters? What? Correct. They all have a different letter when they're at the end of the word. So when you write a mem in the middle of a word or the beginning of a word, it's going to look one way. When you write a mem at the end of the word, it looks differently. Mem, nun, tzadi, pei, chaf, menatz, pach. Says the Gemara, those are the letters that we know are going to be different when they're spelled at the end of a word versus in the middle or the beginning of a word. Okay. Now, who told us that? Where'd that come from? Who made that up? Ever thought about it? No, we always take it for granted that it's part of the Aleph Beis. So, I guess when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, when he came down with the Luchos, it's probably what it looked like. No, it's not what it looked like. The Gemara says, Mem v'sadamach, the Mem and the Samach and the Luchos, were b'neis hayu omdim. Okay, so Samach has to be with a Neis. Why does it have to be a Neis? Why does it have to be a miracle for the Samach to survive in the Luchos? Because the middle part should have fallen out. If it was chiseled out through and through, then it means how are you going to have the circle in the middle of the samach, right? Okay, makes sense. So the Gemara says that happened miraculously, that the samach somehow stood in its place, even though it should have been destroyed. Somehow the luchos were given and the samach was intact. Says the Gemara, the mem was also a miracle. What does that mean, the mem was a miracle? Why do you need a miracle for the mem? It's only if it's at the end of the word, then you need a miracle for the mem. So it sounds like, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe this was there. Maybe it wasn't. We're not sure exactly what this is about. Let's read the Gemara together. Says the Gemara, Maseches Megillah Daf Beis, Amar Rab Yirmiyah V'Yitamer Rab Chiyah Bar Abba. They were wondering one day, who made up all of these letters at the end of the word? Who made up these Sofi? Who came up with that concept? So the idea is, Menatzpach Sofim Amarum. Sofim means the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were the ones who said, well, at the end of a word, we're going to change the shape and the form of a letter when it shows up there. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? How can it be that the Navi has a right to make up how we're going to write the Aleph Beis if that's not the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu? It can't be. And not only that, we know the Gemara says that the Mem stood in the Luchos by a miracle. So how could it be it was by a miracle? How could it be it was by a miracle? Must be that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that already existed, the Sofi letter. Otherwise, there's no miracle necessary. So that's the Gemara's question. In the end, says the Gemara, must be that this was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But, shakhum, everybody forgot. It's not like everybody was writing all the time. So everybody forgot. Let's remember, they were in the desert. They weren't writing things all the time. They didn't have paper. They didn't have a pen. So everybody forgot. And then along came the Nevi'im years and years later, and they said, by the way, guys, everyone forgot. How are we supposed to write the Aleph Beis? Let's remind you. And they taught us again how it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they didn't teach us anything new. They just reminded us of what always was way before they came along, which was forgotten over time. Okay, that's the Gemara's answer to how we get to this. What do you see from here? What do you see from here? See from here that if there's a halacha that is forgotten, it would be fair to say that we'd be allowed to get that halacha back into the system by having a Navi teach it to us. Why is that a problem? What?
We said that we didn't do that.
What did we say? Which story?
That everyone forgot 3,000
halachas of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu dies. The next day everybody wakes up, 3,000 halachas were forgotten. Nobody knows what to do. Says the Gemara in Temura, they turn to Yoshua ben Nun and they say, Nu, why don't you go ask for divine assistance from Moshe Rabbeinu? Yoshua says, you know, I would love to do that, but even if Moshe Rabbeinu would come and give me all the halachos, I wouldn't listen to him. Because lo mashamayim. What do you mean? But Moshe Rabbeinu is not making up anything new. All he's doing is reminding you of the halacha that always was. Which is exactly what happened here. Here you had the letters from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, which were forgotten over time. And then somehow they came back into existence because the Nevi'im told us about them. I asked the Gemara, Navi doesn't have a right to make up some new halacha. The answer is he doesn't make up a new halacha. He's just reminding us of what always was that was forgotten over time. So how do you reconcile these two Gemaras? It's the question that is asked by all of the Acharonim. Literally, all of the Acharonim are dealing with this Gemara, trying to figure out how do you extract the lesson from this Gemara in the background of the Gemara Maseches Temura that tells us about Yoshua ben Nun and Moshe Rabbeinu, that he refused to take counsel from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Aruch Laner gives a very surprising suggestion. Aruch Laner is Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. I can't remember if he was the Rebbe or the Talmud of Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, but he was sometime around then. So either he was very influenced by him or he is the one who did influence him. So the Aruch Laner answers, yes, the only time when this is a problem is when you ask for divine assistance. So Yoshua ben Nun was not prepared to go ahead and proactively ask for Moshe Rabbeinu to come to him and give him the answers. But if God decides one night to give you a hint, to give you a lesson, to tell you a halacha, then you're very lucky. And you should run with that and you should take advantage of it. That's the way he explains it. Very troubling answer because it sounds very arbitrary. Anyway, a lot of discussion about that, but something to think about is this difference. What's very fascinating is the Ravid. You know, the Ravid was the Bar Plukta of the Rambam, which means the Rambam wrote his 14 Svarim of Halacha, and the Ravid very often disagrees, takes issue with many of the Piskei Halacha of the Rambam. Very respectfully, sometimes not so respectfully, but he deals with the Rambam's Pesachim all the time. Every page is a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, literally every page. So there are a number of instances where the Ravid introduces us to something very unusual. The Ravid writes that he had a dispute with the Rambam. Say, for example, one example that comes to mind is in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The question that is raised is, Hilchos Beis HaBechira means Beis HaMikdash. Should we assume that there's a Kedusha that is everlasting? Or do you say, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no Kedusha on the Harabayis, no Kedusha to Makom HaMikdash, Velo Kitcha Liyasid Lava. We have a right to go onto the Harabayis today without any precautions, without going to the mikvah, without being careful at all. It has no retention of Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash is gone. That's a dispute in the Gemara, it's a dispute in the Rishonim, and the Rambam and the Ravid disagree about it. The Ravid, when he poses his position about it, writes, how do I know I'm right? V'sod Hashem li Reav. He says, one night, I had a sod Hashem, means God revealed secrets to me, and that's how I know I'm right. That's very surprising. What does that mean? The Rambam is coming with logical arguments, the Rambam is very rational, the Rambam is saying, this is the halacha based on all the sources, and along comes the Ravid and he says, Rambam, I love you and I respect you, but I want you to know, Sod Hashem Li'Reiv. God came to me in a dream and everything was revealed and now I know that I'm correct. What do you mean you know you're correct? That doesn't have any validity in halacha in the process at all. And the Ravid writes this in many different places. I remember also, the Rambam and the Ravid have a dispute about Hadas, Sheniktam Rosho. It's just the ones that come to mind. He talks about when you have Hadasim where the top of it gets cracked off. So does that disqualify the Hadassim or not? So the Rambam writes one opinion, and the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says, you know how I know I'm right? Even though the Rambam seems to be correct based on the sources, Sod Hashem Li Reiv. Now what does that mean, Sod Hashem Li Reiv? We don't take that into account when we try to figure out what the process on Halacha is all about. So that is something also that is discussed. How do you figure out how to understand these words of the Ravid when he says, Sod Hashem Li Reiv? It's really a borrowed term from the Gemara. And what place does that hold in the process of Halacha? Should we paskin like the Ravid just because Sod Hashem Li Reiv, because God gave him some kind of insight, and therefore he has a one-up over the Rambam? What does that mean exactly? That's a very troubling comment. Let's just close with one very important medrash as it refers to the Yom Tif of Rosh Hashanah. As we know, we're coming to Rosh Hashanah. We just discussed a very important halacha that emanates from our parsha. But something to think about is this medrash, which I'm always very moved by. Tani Rab Oshaya. Gazru Bezdin Lamata Hayom Rosh Hashanah. How is Rosh Hashanah instituted? How does it come to be? You need a Bezdin to actually declare that today is the new month. You need to have witnesses that come in and say, we saw the new moon, we know that today is Rosh Hashanah, right? Correct? So now we have a fixed calendar, but that's not the way it used to be. It used to be that you need to have witnesses who come in and present themselves, and we have to do Drisha V'Chakir, we have to interview them and make sure they're telling the truth. And then once we have decided that it seems that they're telling us something that is truthful, then we tell everybody that we determine that today is Rosh Hashanah, today is Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Says the Medrash, what happens then? We declare here that it's Rosh Hashanah. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Malachei HaShores. At that moment when we declare it's Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam turns to the Malachei HaShores and he says, Ha'amidu Bima. Put a table out. Why put a table out? V'yamod Sanigoria V'yamdu Spektorin. She'gazru Bezen L'mata V'amru HaYom Rosh Hashanah. We know that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. When does the Yom HaDin kick in? When does the Ribbono Shel Olam start the judgment? When we determine that today is Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, all right. Turns to the Malachi HaSharis and he says, all right, get everybody in the room. Let's start having a conversation. Let's see what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer LeMalachi HaSharis, Havir Bima, Havir Sanigoria, Shegazru Bezen Lamata Ve'amru Lamachar Yir Rosh Hashanah. My time, Ki Chok LeYisrael Hu Mishpat LeLokei Yaakov. When the Jewish people decide that today is Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, it's a Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. That's when the Ribbono Shel Olam responds and starts doing the Din V'Cheshbon for all of us. The Yom HaDin only gets started when we start the process. Reb Pinchas, Reb Chilkiah, B'Shem Reb Simon, Miskansim, Malachi, Asharis, Yitzhak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they describe this scene about how all this happens. So if you think that this concept of Loba Shamayim is something that, okay, it's just a nice idea, a nice concept, a fundamental concept that the Rambam talks about, that Nevi'im cannot institute new halachos, what you see here is something fascinating, far beyond that. What the Rambam teaches us is that there's an idea that when we come to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, when we come to experience the Yom HaDin, we come to an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines that solely based on what we determine here. It's not just Lo Bashamayim Hi in theory, it's Lo Bashamayim Hi in practice. Even if the Ribbono Shel Olam believes yesterday should have been Rosh Hashanah, that's not the Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin will only come when the Jewish community decides by a Bezdin that today is Rosh Hashanah. And that to me is a very inspiring thought. Lo Bashamayim Hi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself follows our Psak Halacha as well. That to me is amazing. That the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just us, but the Ribbono Shel Olam himself goes along with whatever conclusion we come to, and that is how major things in the world actually come to evolve the way they are. Yes?
Why